Good morning. Welcome to the fellowship again. And I asked the question following that song as we sang Jesus Christ, our living hope. And I asked that question this morning to all of you. Is he your living hope? Is he your only hope? Is he the only thing that you have to hold on to and the solid rock that will never be shaken? That's our Jesus Christ. That's the one that we worship. That's the one that we serve. And I consider it a privilege this morning to be able to share with you again. And as I open the word, recognizing again that as a mere human being or a man trying to share the word of God, I recognize that I am just that. I am just a human being. And I trust and rely on the Holy Spirit to lead me in interpreting the word and sharing it with you in a way that God would have for you this morning. So it is good to be here. I'm so grateful to Eric for having picked up for me last Sunday and on a short notice again, where Karen and I went through this here bout with COVID again. Nothing like it was back in 2020, but it was just a time where Friday morning I woke up and I felt good. And y'all know that feeling, you know, when you're sick for a while and you wake up and you feel good. You know, there's a day coming that we are gonna wake up and we are gonna feel good. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes and he splits those clouds in glory and takes us home to be with him, that's gonna be a time of we feel good. Amen? Let's have an amen. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you looking forward to the time when Jesus is coming? Or does it strike fear in your heart? Do you, when you think of Jesus coming, do you think, yes, Lord, come quickly, as John wrote there in the book of Revelations, yes, come quickly? Or do you think, when you think about the Lord's return, you think about Jesus coming, is it more like, no? And unfortunately today, that there are people who feel that way. And I remember, as a child, remember feeling those feelings when it was talked about the Lord's return and Jesus coming back, that there was that fear, just a fear of what does it mean? What is going to happen when the Lord returns? And for you children who are sitting here this morning and maybe you're feeling the same thing, I'm here to assure you this morning, there is nothing on this earth that you can compare it to. What it will be the day when Jesus splits those clouds and says, it is finished. I look forward to it. And maybe it's just getting older. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It just is, you know, it's just more looking forward to that time and that happening and that coming. So I believe that in the meantime, God has put us here on this earth, and I believe that we can live with the anticipation of his coming while we continue the work that God has called us to do here in this earth. And you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, and it's a familiar story, but we're going to look through it again. The parable that Jesus told of the 10 virgins, and I just want to make some points and some comments, and we'll let you go home for lunch. So not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before, when I was feeling pretty rotten, had some severe sinus pains and hurt all over, and went to bed Thursday night, Thursday night when it was the night it was snowing, if you remember, and it was cold, and it was about 16 degrees. The wind was blowing. Our house sits on a little bit of a hill there on Muddy Creek Road, and we get not all the winds, but a lot of wind blows right through there, and snuggled in bed and best I could, feeling the way I did. Long about 2 o'clock in the morning, I was getting pretty uncomfortable, and so I decided to sit on the recliner for a while and see if I could get some relief that way. Went out and sat on the recliner, and it wasn't no 5 minutes that I was sitting there, electric went off. Well, okay, we'll wait a little bit, see if it comes back on, but not too big a deal. I just thought that, well, you know, I could go back to bed and the house would get cold, but it's, you know, nice warm covers, not a problem. And so along about 2:30, I'm laying there. I went back to bed and I tried to sleep, and it's just like, You know, is my generator going to work? Am I going to be able to have heat? Am I going to be able to supply what's needed here? Because this is 16 degrees and blowing cold. And I went and checked the thermometer, and in just that half an hour or so, it had dropped 2 degrees inside the house already. And I wanted to, for those of you that took part in helping to provide a shed for me, one of the things I did with that shed was I made provision in the shed to set my generator inside the shed and pipe the exhaust outside. So, and this, the generator's electric start, and I have the plug right there to plug it in, and I am well prepared for if the electric goes off. And I'm laying there in bed thinking, Luke, you idiot. I have the generator. I have the hookup. I have everything the way it should be. It's electric start. I just turn the switch and fire it up and plug the cord in, and I can make a couple switches in the sub panel in the house, and I'm ready to go. And I thought about it. I have 3 gas cans sitting there, and only one of them had a couple gallons of gas in it. Wow, electric's not off long. So I went out, and I again, just a thanks to all of you that helped provide this shed, because I went out there. I was able to go inside the shed, shut the door. The wind's whipping around the outside. Otherwise, I would have had to pull the generator outside in the north side of the house there and plug it in, and with the snow blowing and all that stuff. And so it was really nice. It was great. And I was feeling miserable, so I was thanking God as I was doing that, and went in there, turned the generator on, and I'll put the gas in that I had and say, well, Lord, if it runs out of gas, I guess this is where we're at. Anyway, electric was off. Long story short, electric was off till 8 o'clock in the morning. So we were glad that we had the generator to be able to provide heat for the house. And long story short, the gas lasted long enough for that 6 hours that the electric was off. But I thought about this scripture, and I thought about how that, so like that, we have become many times where we have done all the things that we think that we can do right to prepare our hearts and our minds for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do all the things to make ourselves look right on the outside, and there's no power on the inside. And that's what came to my mind as I thought about the generator was a great thing. The hookup was a great thing. But if there is no power to run the generator, it's as nothing. It means nothing. And in this here scripture, we have the story of the 10 virgins. And you know how that all turned out, that 5 of them had their oil and then 5 didn't. It's no different. And I recognize again today that as we look at the times that we're living in and recognizing that there's so much going on around us, and I believe that's more important than ever, that our hearts are prepared, that our hearts are fixed, that our hearts and our minds are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit, because that is the power, that is where it comes from. It doesn't come from how much you go to church. It doesn't come from how much you minister to your neighbor. It doesn't come from how much you preach, teach, or whatever it might be. The power to live in the presence of God comes through His Spirit and His Spirit alone. There is no other source. There is no other source. If you are trying in any other way to be right with God, to live a life of holiness, there is no other way than except through His Spirit. Excuse me. So I titled the message, Jesus is Coming. Jesus is coming. And I thought about how that we heard on the radio, we heard the news reports and stuff, that this storm was coming last Thursday night, a week ago, whatever it was. We heard it, how that they were going to get a lot of snow on the East Coast and all this stuff. There was a lot of warning. There was a lot of warnings. I still did not fill my gas cans. What is the problem? There is many warnings throughout God's word and scriptures that Jesus is coming. He will not delay. He will come. It's there. It's written. He is coming. He has warned us. And I ask this morning, are you prepared? The question that many people I've heard asked recently, just looking in light of the things that are going on around the world, is Jesus coming soon? Some people say, yes, it's right around the corner. And I would hesitate as the world becomes more evil. And the answer to the question is, yes, he is coming. But I would hesitate at any point to say soon, now, next week, or next month, or next year. You get what I'm saying? But yes, he is coming. Amen. Because the Bible very clearly tells us that we don't know when he's coming. Not even the angels know. And I'm not, as Jesus says this, at one point, and I might be reading that shortly, I don't remember if it's in this part of the text or not, but that only the Father knows that time. And so Jesus is coming. Yes, he is. And as we look at this world and we look at the things that are happening around us, I can't tell you if it's going to be, and I will not. If somebody's putting dates or times or such like around the coming of Jesus, don't listen to them. But I know one thing. It's closer today than it was when I just said that a minute ago. It's closer today than it was yesterday. It's closer today than it was 2,000 years ago when the scripture was written, when Peter said, the time is at hand. It's closer. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there are thoughts, there are things that are shaping up that people will identify as being end time stuff. For what it's worth, take it for what it's worth. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there is clear direction given in God's word that in light of Jesus is coming, what are we supposed to do? Be ready. Be watching. Be praying. Be waiting. Be ready. Be watching. Be praying. Be waiting. He is coming. Hallelujah. He is coming. And our responsibility is to be ready. So some of these thoughts got my brain going when I read something from Answers in Genesis that Ken Ham wrote in one of their monthly magazine things that comes to the office here. And he said that he has asked the question, is Jesus coming sooner? He has heard people tell him through different ways that Jesus is coming soon in light of the evil and the things that are going on. And Ken Ham points out that in Sodom and Gomorrah, and this is not to put you at any kind of ease or at any kind of rest, but in a time when Sodom and Gomorrah was wicked and Lot put his family and himself in that city, those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then God, we all know the story, God came and told him that he was going to destroy the cities, and Lot pleaded for God to spare the cities. And he took him down from whatever the numbers were down to, if there were 10 people, would you spare the cities? And God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah if there were 10 righteous people. And I know that there are a lot of righteous people in America and around the world today. So also with Noah, in the days that Noah built the ark, and the world was getting wicked, and we know it's getting wicked. I don't know what it was like back then. I don't know what Sodom and Gomorrah were exactly like that would move God to annihilate them off the face of the earth. The same within the days of Noah, that God would do away with those people. It was 8 people that went into the ark. So, but this whole idea that we are to watch and be ready, it's not important. It shouldn't be important. And I'll read some scriptures to that extent, that it should not be important. I'm going to read, first of all, in Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44, which is right up beside chapter 25 there. I'm going to start with this. It says, but of the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That was the verse I was referencing earlier. It would appear, Jesus says, that the Father only knows. So don't go too far with that. But But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding in a mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, and would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He is coming at an hour that you do not expect. And that is the thing that that Jesus is making a point of, is that we do not know and you need to be ready. Going over to chapter 25, let's look at the story that Jesus, the parable that Jesus told of the 10 virgins. Starting verse 1 of 25, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should be not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And we have this story written here. And one of the things that stood out to me as I read this again was that there are only two categories of people in this world. There are only two categories of people. And it's not the rich and the poor. It's not the learned and the unlearned. It's not the beautiful and the ugly. It's not the church going and the not. It is the saved and the unsaved. There is only two categories of people in this world. And we see them in these here too. The five foolish and the five wise. There is only two categories of people in this world. It is the saved and the unsaved. And when we look at the idea or the thought or understanding from Scripture that Jesus is coming, what am I doing about it? What am I doing about the fact that there are lost people within the world? And you'll notice that I said church going or not, because I believe that as we look at this Scripture, as we understand it, the 10 virgins, I believe, were people who were looking for Jesus. They were in touch with Jesus. They were in touch with what was happening. But somewhere along the line, five of them became foolish. And they didn't take oil on. They were not ready. They were not prepared for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, and you're one of those five that is not prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. And I ask you this morning, are you living your life in such a way that if Jesus were to walk into your living room, if Jesus were to step into the seat in your car beside you, would you be ready for him? Are you talking to your wife, to your children, to your family in such a way that if Jesus were to walk into your room, into your kitchen, sit at your table, just appear there? Are you living your life in such a way that would be to his honor, to his glory? Or has the light gone out? Has the oil burned out? You know, it says here in the Scripture, it says, then the kingdom of heaven likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom, recognizing that the first verse there, it's about the kingdom of heaven and about a bridegroom. and the bridegroom who is Jesus. And we all know that Jesus came and he bought the church with his shed blood. He bought the church. The price was paid for his bride. And he is coming back someday to receive his bride unto himself. And that is the church, to receive the bride unto himself, the church. He's coming back for her. He's coming back for us. He did not forget us. He did not leave us alone. But it says that now that five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And one thing I want us to notice here that I believe that in this here, what is the difference between slumbering and sleeping? I didn't go into this and really tear it apart, but it made me wonder, so what's the difference between slumbering and sleeping? But it says that they all slumbered and slept, not only the foolish, but the wise as well. I don't know. It has something to do with, I believe, there were some commentaries that I read that feel like that's just normal everyday life that would be considered. It's not the just standing on a hill watching and waiting for Jesus, but it's normal life. I don't know what to make of that. But we are in the time. We are in the time where Jesus delayed. And that delay has caused a lot of problems for a lot of people. A lot of Christians around the world have become weary in well-doing because the delayed coming of Jesus Christ have become weary. And I ask you this morning, are you becoming weary? Are you possibly falling asleep? Are you getting caught up? Are you starting to see the storm? Are you starting to see what's going on around you and starting to forget who you are in Christ? Where your power comes from? Where you receive the ability to live and to walk as children of God in this sin-cursed world. And it is a sin-cursed world that we're living in. As I shared in the last message that I shared, how the world will hate you. They do hate you. They will. It's a sin-cursed world that we live in. There's the saved and the unsaved. So what should we be doing? What should we be doing? In Mark chapter 16, 15, it says this, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we are to, in light of that Jesus is coming, in light of that fact, we are to go into all the world and to share the gospel. That's one of the things that we're supposed to do in light of that. In Jude verse 3 says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. So the other thing I believe that we are called to do is to contend for the faith. Share the gospel and contend for the faith is the things that I believe that God would have us to do as we look at these here. This story here of Jesus coming and five of them not being ready. As a child, in Revelations 1 and 3, I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Revelations. It says this, blessed is he who reads, and here again, just the whole idea of focusing on the fact that Jesus is coming and that he is coming quickly, it says. We don't know the hour. We don't know the time. We don't know the place. Revelations 1:3 says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Revelations 3:11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Revelations 22:10, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. In Revelations 22:12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Revelations 22:20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In 1 Peter 7, we have where Peter, just again pointing out that this end of times, this here coming quickly, end of times, it was being talked about already in the writing of the New Testament, where Peter talks about, he begins in 1 Peter 4, 7, he says, the end of all things is near, okay? Even then already, he was saying the end of all things is near. And again, it's nearer today than what it was then. And in Romans 13, 11, it says this, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In Hebrews 9, 28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. He will appear a second time apart from sin to salvation. But the wise took the oil, in verse 4, but the wise took the oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, and behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And what point, what good is it to trim a lamp that has no power, that has no oil, has no ability to burn? It does not give light. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. And again, as we look at this story, as it unfolds, and the time when Jesus came, when he came back, and I believe that we will experience the same thing, where people will cry out and say, now we want what you have. Now we want what you have. Now we need what you have. But there is no grace that you, it looks callous and it looks hard that these other five virgins say, no, we're not giving you our oil. They had no oil to give them. Because grace and God's love and God's grace and God's favor cannot be given to someone else. You can't give it to them. Neither when Jesus comes will you be able to stand in the presence of God and say, well, my grandfather or my dad or my mother or my friend or somebody at church was a good person that I was really connected to. And you can't get in on that power. Won't happen. But the wise answer saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Where do you get it? Where does it come from? Where is the grace? Where does the oil come from? It comes from Jesus. It comes from him. And him alone. It comes from God our Father through the Holy Spirit. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And here it's of interest to me again is Jesus' response. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. And I ask you the question this morning, does Jesus know you? Or are you carrying a lamp? Are you carrying a lamp that simply looks like a lamp? Are you carrying a lamp with no oil? Have you cleaned up the outside and made it look good? Or are you truly connected to the power of the Holy Spirit that brings life? That brings life in this time, in this day, where we all need the power of the Holy Spirit to walk from one day to the next, to overcome the lies that are being fed to us. There's only one source. It's the Holy Spirit. And I ask you this morning, is it just a lamp that you're carrying? Or have you truly, truly, truly connected to the power source? Robert Winsert was born in 1876 in Bledsoe County in Tennessee. And he was perhaps the best known song. He was a songwriter. He published 1,000 gospel songs in his lifetime. Perhaps the best known song is that Jesus is Coming Soon was first published in 1942. This popular song accounted one Song of the Year in the Gospel Music Association's very first Dove Awards in 1969. When Robert Windsor published the song in 1942, the United States had been entrenched in the Great Depression and had just entered World War II after the attack on Pearl Harbor in December of 1941. Is it any wonder that he wrote these words? Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humbling your heart to God saves from chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod. Christians, awake. And then in the last stanza, he writes this. It seems like he got a grip on it. He understood that the hope that we are to have is found in this. Troubles will soon be o'er. Happy forevermore when we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound, all the dead will rise, righteous will meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Heavenward bound. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming. And we will be heaven bound. We are heaven bound. We're on that journey now. We are on that road. Jesus is coming soon. We hear all kinds of news reports. We hear all kinds of things about our government. We hear all kinds of things about diseases and storms and all the stuff that's going on around the world as we listen to the news. Inflation, unrest, division, and storms. It's all the kinds of stuff that would trouble your heart. And I'm going to turn to Revelations in closing here this morning. In Revelations chapter 22, and you can turn with me because I'm going to read that scripture because it is the end. It is the revelation, the book we call Revelations is titled The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And in that revelation of Jesus Christ, in the last chapter, in verse 22, it says this, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Listen to verse 4. "They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads." Not the mark of the beast. His name will be on their foreheads. His name will be on their foreheads. "And there shall be no light there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And let me just take a moment there with verse 4. As I saw that, there's another scripture in Revelations that talks about the same thing, that the mark of God was on their forehead. And the question goes out, in the time that we're living in, the things that we're experiencing with COVID, with vaccines and those kind of things, it brings more awareness again to the fact that there is going to come a day when you will take upon your hand or upon your head or somewhere, you will take a mark recognizing that you are not a child of God, that you are not. You choose not to be a child of God so that you can buy and that you can sell. And thus it is called in Revelations the mark of the beast that will be taken so that you can buy and sell to save your own hide. There's been, down through the ages, there's been the Social Security number was the mark of the beast for a while. Barcodes were the mark of the beast. Credit cards were the mark of the beast. And today, I believe the stage is being set for that to be able to happen. I believe the stage is being set. But I also believe that God will give you wisdom. And I believe in my heart that when you take upon yourself, when you take that mark of the beast, you will be intentionally denying Christ. It will be an intentional denying Christ and receiving the mark of the beast and saying, this is what I identify. Basically, to sum it up is this. If you're a Christian, I believe there'll come a time that if you're a Christian, you have the mark of Christ and not the mark of Satan on you. If you have the mark of Christ on you, you will not be able to buy or sell or do the things that the scripture talks about. Jesus is coming. Don't despair. Do not walk in fear. And there's another, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says that we walk in the light, that we will not be taken in that day, the day of the Lord, we will not be taken as a thief because we are children of light and we walk in light. We do not walk in darkness. If you are walking in darkness, if you recognize this morning that you're one of those foolish virgins that simply has a lamp but has no oil, then yes, you're walking in darkness. And it is something to fear. But if you're here this morning and you're a child of God and your lamp is burning and there is oil there, you're a child of God, you're walking in the light and it will not overtake you. It will not come as a thief and overtake you, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. So walk in the confidence that God has given you through His Spirit, but be children of light. As we read on, then it said to me, in verse 6, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And remember again, Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that will happen or happen in here that we read that we don't understand. Don't let it trip you up. But read it. Read it. There's going to come a time that you will understand it. In verse 8, now I, John, saw that. Let me skip down to verse 10. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, there will be no time to change. There will be no time to change. When Jesus comes, it's all over. You're not going to run to the pastor or to the counselor or somewhere to find out what they were talking about. The time is now. The time is now. Not when Jesus comes and sets foot back on this earth. That's not the time to decide to follow him and to walk with him. The time is now. In verse 12, it says, and behold, and then here Jesus steps in, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is coming with his reward in hand. He is coming to give to those of you who have been faithful and true and just to him, to give you your reward. He is also coming to those of you who have not been faithful, who have not been true, who have not been just. You will also receive your reward. Verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments and they, let me read it again. Blessed are those who do his commandments that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you that these things, to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. It's like a last plead, a last cry to come and take of the tree of life, the living water that will last throughout eternity. And you have to have, and there's no fear of Jesus coming back. Then in verse 18, he says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." And in verse 20, he says it again. "And he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Hallelujah. I hope this morning that you find in your heart the excitement that I believe that we should all have as we understand the coming of Jesus Christ and what it's going to mean. The Karen and I, we were driving to church this morning and driving along the creek there at Martindale, and it's just some beautiful scenery there. And there were some birds around, and we just talked again about the beauty of God's creation here. And we can't even get in our minds. We can't even begin to imagine what God has prepared for us in heaven. We can't even begin to imagine. The cats will all be nice. The dogs, I don't know if they'll be there or not, but Revelation 22 is not a fiction. It's not a fairy tale story. It is not something that we fully understand, but it is something that God calls us to read, the book of Revelations. And I know that I have personally not spent much time preaching to you out of the book of Revelations, because there are many things that are just that to be interpreted is difficult. And there are people who have written books who think they know, but it's theory. Much of it's theory. And I will try to be more vigilant in sharing with you more of the book of Revelations as we go along through life. Speaks of our readiness, our reward, our reassurance that heaven is our final place. And I ask you this morning, are you ready? Are you ready? First, have you been saved? And then second, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ that honors and glorifies him? Is there oil still in your lamp? Is your lamp still burning? Because there's a world around us that needs light like never before. And we are the light of the world through the Jesus in us. Jesus said he's the light of the world. It's the Christ in us. It's that oil. It's that lamp. It's the Holy Spirit within us that brings light to the world. And there are people in darkness daily that you are walking beside. I am walking beside. Am I bringing light? Am I bringing light? Do they recognize the excitement in me that Jesus is coming and to be ready for it? Do they know that? If you're here this morning and you're saved, you understand and you know what I'm talking about. But if you're here this morning and you've not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, then today is the day. Today is the day. You too know what I'm talking about. When I talk about Jesus is coming, what rises up in your heart? Do you get excited? Or are you like, I'm not sure? Be sure. Be sure. Because it is going to happen. It is going to happen. And you can stand as we prepare our hearts. And I am going to open the altar up here this morning. And if you feel like there's a need for you to talk to the Lord, maybe it's a first time, maybe it's just that you want a deeper walk with him, a desire to have your light shine in such a way that when Jesus comes, he would find you ready and waiting. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your holiness. I thank you, Father, that we have opportunity today to look into your word and to glean from it the challenge and the encouragement. Lord, thank you so much that you have prepared a place for us. And you said that when you have prepared that place for us, you will come again and receive us unto yourself, that where you are there, we would be also. Father, we are looking forward to that. Father, I pray that as we live in this world and we are attempting to learn how to walk and to be in this world but not be part of it. Lord, I pray for wisdom. God, I pray that our lights would shine bright. God, I pray that your spirit would fall upon us, Lord, that we would be a living, shining testimony in our words, in our actions, in everything that we do, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, that you would be lifted up. Father, we want you to come. We want you to be part of us. We want you with all our being. Father, in the places that we have failed, Lord, we yield to you, recognizing that it is through the power of your spirit that we are able to become clean, that we are able to become holy and pure and stand before you. Lord, help us to enter into the Holy of Holies, boldly asking for what we need. Lord, and we do that this morning for the church. Lord, I pray for the church, Father. I pray that you would protect, that you would watch out for the flock here at New Covenant. Lord, I pray that you would supersede everything that happens and that the enemy would have no power to be able to disrupt or to distract from the goal, and that is the goal is to serve you and to honor you and to bring you to the people that we are around. So, Father, we lift up this place to you, lift up this fellowship to you. I lift up every person to you, Lord, and pray that you would reach out and touch in whatever way is needed, in Jesus' name, amen. Again, as I shared this morning, if you're feeling a need to do business with God, whatever that might mean, I believe the boldness that it takes to come and kneel at this altar will break the bondage, will put a dent in Satan's armor, will put a dent in Satan's hold on you. So as small as it might seem to you, Dave, will you lead us?